Okay, so you were telling me a story about IBM. Was this IBM you're talking about, or AT&T?
It wasn't
or
IBM. It was 9X.
It was 9X. And you were doing what? What were you doing?
It was an interview.
It is an interview. What's the problem? There's nothing wrong with it.
I was wearing a clown outfit.
Why were you wearing a clown outfit? That's silly.
Oh, come on. All right, I'll play along with you. What was I doing? I was a professor at the time, and my school had been hired to conduct some management development. Well, let's scratch that, make it executive development. These are high level guys with 9X. 9X is the parent, the precursor of Verizon.
Right.
So I was teaching them a strategic planning method, which involves the use of outlines. And David's outliner, Think Tank, seemed to be very appropriate. We went through all the steps. We rented out 12 compact computers.
What kind of computers were these? They were big ones.
Compact,
right?
The distinguishing feature of compact, as the name implies, was that it was smaller than the usual desk job, and it had a handle on it.
But it was much bigger than the computer I have right now, right?
Ugh.
How much do you think it weighed?
It weighed about 40 pounds.
Wow. So it was kind of hard to carry that.
I took one once to a seminar, and I had to carry. Take a luggage carrier to drag it along.
Yeah.
But anyway, we got 12 of them, and we got 12 or more copies of Think Tank, and I took them through a presentation of the analytical method, handed out a case study. We talked about the case study a little bit to make sure they understood it, and we went through the analysis in class just with a whiteboard and soft tip pen. And then the assignment to them was to analyze a case study written especially for them about a telephone company situation. It was a good case, very good case, very complex, and it was really very relevant to their current issues, so they were all interested in the case. Mm-hmm. And the assignment was to read the case and to prepare a complete analysis and to get ready with the presentation to be given the following day. So I saw them working, and most of them, I would say, went directly to the computer, mastered the art, it wasn't that complicated, and they started working on it and developing their solution. And there was one team, they weren't going to do that. They were going to use flip charts, because they knew flip charts, and put hands on the computer. Maybe they had never done it before, I don't know.
Yeah.
So they're sitting there, and they start writing the flip chart, and somebody says, no good, fine, throw away the flip chart, get another flip chart. They do this for about an hour, and they finally get the idea, and they go sit at the computer.
Is that right? That's
They weren't the first, and they weren't the best, but at least they got the idea.
So the people that were using the computer were using an outliner to do this.
They were using Think Tank.
Right. And so how did they use Think Tank to...
How did they use it to do this?
They had a problem that they had to solve. Is that right?
Well, it was a specific thing of my particular approach to case analysis is that you go through a series of steps which lend themselves very nicely to outlining.
Ah, I see.
And the fact in the absence of outlining, it's a real struggle. It's a mess, to be honest.
Do you remember much about the process? Do you remember the process?
Do I remember it? Of course. I wrote a book around it.
Did you? Okay. So what was the process? Without reading it, what do I call it? No, how does it work? What do you do?
I can't explain it in words.
It
takes at least 3/4 of an hour to explain it.
So these executives were at first resistant to the idea.
Sorry?
They were resistant to the idea of using a computer. Not all of them.
Some of them were resistant.
But was the organization resistant to it? How did the organization feel about executives using computers?
How did the organization? You mean the top management?
Yeah.
They were split very clearly.
Really?
Because these were top managers.
Really?
Yeah, they were top. It's a huge company. It was even then. 9X included all of New York Telephone Company and New England Telephone Company.
Right.
I don't know, maybe 40, 50,000 employees.
Right, right.
And this is their top management, top 150 guys. In fact, one of the guys in the class eventually became the CEO, Ivan Seidenberg. He didn't stay very long. He came and went. He wasn't that interested at the time. And what I also observed, there were lawyers, top-level lawyers. The lawyers took to it just like that.
Really? Yeah.
I don't know if they spent too much time on the case study. I think they were doing their own work.
Is that
they
right?
Brought their work with them, and they sat down at the outline.
But they understood the outline.
Yeah, they were
right?
putting together their briefs. You know, telephone companies get involved in extremely complicated legal situations with the Public Service Commission. They have to ask for rate increases, and you know they go on books and books of stuff that they present as evidence, and. Try to do that without an outliner. You're asking for doubling the workload.
Well, how would you explain an outliner to somebody, an intelligent person? Who didn't
I have the key word. It's an idea processor. When did you ever hear that before?
Well, I came up with that term.
Oh, shit. Excuse me.
No, you're allowed to use words like that here.
That's the best way to talk about it.
Well, explain that. What does it mean? What does it mean to be an idea processor?
I have to explain that.
Well, yeah. I want to hear it in your own words. What
all
does
of
it mean?
All of those listening to this, how many of you ever get an idea? Raise your hands.
My father is a college professor, you should talk to me. Pretend that the other people aren't even there. It's better that way.
Anybody who gets more than two ideas at a time and has a little problem in organizing them could help. It could help.
That's an interesting point.
But then what it really does help, if you have levels of ideas, you have a top idea, subsidiary ideas, and even more subsidiary ideas. For example, an everyday example. Let's say you're a very bright high school student, very bright, a real thinker. And you say to yourself, well, I'm contemplating a major decision in my life, college. Not so much where I should go, that'll come second, but what should I study? What should be my major? Because there's a wide range. You could study science, you could study philosophy, you could study languages, history, very wide range. So you say, well, I'm going to try to do this the intelligent way. So I'll think of my own personal objectives. And I'll think hard, and I'm going to write them down. One of them is I want to enjoy my work life. Also, I want to develop some culture, knowledge of culture, so that after I do my day's work, and after I kiss my wife and have dinner and pat the kids on the head, well, maybe we'll do something interesting. Maybe we'll go to an opera, a ballet, a concert. I want to know what this is all about. I don't know anything about it. I want to get some of that. And I keep writing down what my objectives are. You know, what are the things I want out of life? And I say, okay, well, let me see if I can organize these. Because they're not all in the same category.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of them says, I want to have a nice, enjoyable life. Well, that sounds like it's a top category. Whereas one that says, I want to see the American Ballet Theater performance of, let's say, Swan Lake. Well, that would be a little further down.
That would be part of it, though. That would be part of having
part
an enjoyable
of it,
life.
But if I organize a hierarchy, that's the key word, the hierarchy. And if you want to know an everyday example of a hierarchy, the oldest hierarchy we know in our civilization is the Roman Catholic Church. They have the Pope, they have the Cardinals, they have the Archbishops, the Bishops, the Monsignors, and the Priests. Just like that. So they have their hierarchy. Hierarchy is also mentioned in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Because God told Moses, you should organize, I think, judges of hundreds and judges of tens and so on. The Romans had hierarchies. They had the centurions, and they had an equivalent word for leaders of 10. Centurion was leader of 100, and so on. It's an old human concept. And that's basically an idea processor, is a computer program that makes it easy, very easy, wonderfully easy, to organize your ideas in hierarchies. Because you can shift them around. You set up one hierarchy and say, well, you know, this isn't exactly right. The logic isn't exactly right. I'll move this one from here to there. And you keep playing with it. And you say, okay, that's about it. And then you can, it's very good for communicating. And it impresses your audiences because, gee, look what a logical thinker this guy is. You know, we could quibble about some of the details, but he took a complex issue and gave it shape.
But the way it came out of you wasn't necessarily that well organized, right? The way it came out of your head wasn't...
Your head, it's never that way.
No, you sort of go here, and oh, I got to go here, no. I don't forget to do
there
that,
may,
and that.
There may be one person in 1,000 who can organize
it. Well, maybe if you have one idea, then that idea can be very well organized, right?
But no, one idea, there's no problem.
But if you come
here's this kid trying to select his college major.
You know, no kids do that. No kids actually do that, I think.
Especially, he's a little bit, you know, he hasn't had that much experience handling complex issues. So this would be a great help to him.
Mm-hmm.
So after it's all done, he decides, well, I need a lot of money to accomplish what I want. So then he narrows his field to the ideas that are profitable, to the fields that are profitable, and then you take it from there.
So do you think George Bush and Karl Rove could use an idea processor?
Who?
George Bush, the president of the United States?
No, he hasn't got a brain.
Really?
He doesn't have the most marvelous attribute of the brain. He doesn't have a cortex.
He doesn't even have
he has the brain of a snake.
Is that right?
That's about it.
So he couldn't really use an idea
processor. No, think of the brain. There's an inner brain, the old brain, and all around it is the cortex.
Right.
And human beings have the most complex and biggest cortexes of all the mammals. Well, that's where Bush doesn't shine.
How about Karl Rove?
Karl Rove is a very smart snake.
Is he? Yeah, he's still a snake.
He's a smart, but he's not all that smart. He's smart, very smart snake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think about gasoline and keeping our fuel efficiency in our cars, getting that up? I know you have strong opinions.
We should tax the gas guzzlers.
Well, explain that. Explain how that works. Why is that the right way to go?
Okay. I'll give it to you in outline form.
Because you were going to write a letter to the editor. Did you write a letter to the editor, to the New York Times?
I did, but so far they're sleeping on it.
You don't think they're like, wow, we got a letter from Dr. Weiner here.
Yeah, they know I'm a doctor. I didn't tell them.
But, you know, they may actually hear it here. So
they may have what?
They may hear this.
Yeah, they may have. If they Googled me, they would find out that I have some minimal renown in retirement for college professors. I gained some 15 minutes of fame.
Did you? How so?
You don't know that story?
Which story is that?
Back about 12, 13 years ago, I made a startling discovery that the money that I was putting in my retirement fund was not being managed optimally. I had the impression that the company that was doing this, TIA/CREF, was investing the money in an index fund. And then one summer I came back from vacation, I looked at the papers they sent me, and I said to myself, gee, they don't seem to be doing as well as the index fund. I looked into it, they weren't, because it wasn't an index fund. It was two parts, two-thirds was index fund, and one-third was, quotes, managed. The actual word is that it was mismanaged. But managed or mismanaged, it had expenses. Because management means that you have computers, you have managers,
right, yeah.
You have data gathering, you have all kinds of stuff. It adds to expenses. Now, you might say the difference was not large, maybe 0.5% a year. But you know, college professors have very long careers. You take 0.5% for 30 years, you're talking about real money. And I said to myself, this isn't right. They shouldn't be doing this because nobody can manage over the long term effectively because the costs are too great and nobody's that much smarter than the average. So I wrote a letter to the chairman of the board. Why waste my time with underlings? And I got a runaround. And the end of it was, well, we ain't going to do what you want. So basically, fuck off. So then I went to the management of my school. And I said, look, I don't like putting my money in TIA CREF. I'm going to put my money in Vanguard Index Fund. And they said, good, that's nice, Leon. Go back and teach me. So I wouldn't give up. So I went to the human resources director, who really, in quantitative matters, she wasn't, it was not really her area. So she really didn't know exactly what I was talking about. She didn't grasp it. So she said, look, we're not going to do anything unless you can show me grassroots support. I said, fine, fair enough. You want grassroots, I get you grassroots. Fortunately, I was a member of the business faculty. So I put together a nice presentation. I used the outliner, of course. And I showed, using realistic numbers, numbers that they could relate to, what happens over 5 years if you start out with $50,000. That's realistic for this group, because most of them probably have more than that. You have $50,000, and you have, let's say, two options. One of them, you put your money into TIA CREF stock fund, or you put it into Vanguard Index Fund. Mm-hmm. At the end of the 5 years, you have $5,000 more with the index fund. They could relate to that, because in their own minds, they're multiplying this by whatever they have. They don't have 50,000, they have 500,000. They're multiplying it by 10. Geez, I just pissed away 50,000 bucks. For what? For nothing. I don't care if those guys make money, they're nothing to me. Grassroots support, it is 100%.
Right.
Unanimous vote. Well, that did it.
Then what happened?
Yeah. It took a little more. Also, I got a little lucky. We were having a faculty meeting one time, and the provost of the university came along as a guest. Well, I grabbed this guy, and I would not let him go. I told him my story. And he related to it immediately, because he was, well, I guess he was younger than me, come to think of it. Because he had two kids in high school, and they were going to go to college. And he was saving up money for that, and every dollar counted, because this is going to be expensive. And he didn't like his money being skimmed by TIAA CREF. So he went and spoke to the, you know, top management of the university. It was done. We didn't get Vanguard, because Vanguard didn't want us. We got Fidelity, which was almost as good.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I got into Google. The years went by. And Smart Money magazine was nosing around. They were very concerned.
So if they look up Leon Weiner on Google, this is what they'll find.
Yeah, you'll find it. I'll tell you, let me finish the story. They were nosing around to find a story of where an employee persuaded the employer to give them a greater range of options for their retirement plan. Not necessarily colleges, but any place. So they asked various people, and one of the guys on our faculty happens to be somewhat famous in investment circles. So they asked him, I can't think of his name offhand, and he said, oh, that's what you want to know about. Leon Weiner is the guy who did it. So they came and saw me, they interviewed me, they took pictures, and they published the article. It was picked up by other publications, even in Japan. And because it was so extraordinary, that basically I was a low-level employee. I was a worker. You know, like an assembly line worker, that's what a college professor is. He's not a dean, he's not a chairman, and nothing. And I was able, through facts and influencing my colleagues, I was able to get the organization to change. And that was a good story, and they kept publishing it and referring to it. Hmm. That was my 15 minutes of fame.
Hmm.
Not marketing.
Nope. Finance.
Not even...
It was personal finance.
Combination. It was first getting the facts, analyzing them, and giving a persuasive presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went, you know, after I spoke to my business school faculty, I went to other faculty groups, and it was just like that.
Why would anybody want to give money to TIAA CREF?
No, if they're not business school, they could be, well, maybe he didn't present it right, maybe he played with the numbers, maybe he was selective, you know. But first I went to the business school, and when they said it was kosher, that's all they needed.
Yeah, basically everybody else went along then.
Sure.
So we've been recording now for 18 minutes. And I'm sure it's coming out great.
Good luck, use it.
Have you ever done podcasting before?
No.
Do you know what podcasting is?
Sure, I know what it is. I read the papers.
Do you?
What do you think, I'm a dummy?
No, I don't know. I wasn't sure. Of course you read. So where did you read about podcasting? The New York Times?
Maybe. Probably, yeah. Pogue.
David Pogue?
Did Pogue have something on podcasting?
No, no, no.
I don't know.
There have been a lot of articles.
Hmm?
There have been a lot of articles.
Yeah.
About it, yeah. But this is the first podcast you've done, right?
They also said that most podcasts aren't really all that interesting. Just people, you know, free associating.
Well, how do you think? Do you think this will be, this podcast will, is interesting?
I much prefer reading, because I read about 10 times as fast as I listen.
Hmm.
So, you know, if there's something, if there's some meat to this, I get to it much faster by reading. Listening, you know, it's just slower.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it.
You can't talk faster than about 1,000 words in 15 minutes.
No, of course. And it's serial, too. It's hard to skim it. But that's also the strength of it too, because, you know, I find that when I write something on my weblog, people often respond to the hot words that I use, not to what I said. They just have a certain way of connecting those words together, and they respond to that.
That's typical.
Right.
That's
typical. And so if I want to explain something that's complicated, and I want at least some people to understand it, then I'll, you know, do a podcast.
Maybe that would work better if they listen to it.
Right. Well, not everybody's going to listen to it. But
listeners can do the same selection, too. They can select what they want to react to. They don't have to react to your whole presentation.
No, of course not. But it is, there is more information conveyed than just the words in the way you speak.
I can tell you where a podcast would be superb. If, let's say, somebody wants to learn calculus, that's not that easy a subject for most people. Reading it is one thing, but if you hear a good professor speaking about calculus, and then you can, if it's on your iPod, you can play it back.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, that was my experience. I was a math major, and I really couldn't learn anything until the lecture, until the teacher I could not learn anything in math until the lecture, until the teacher taught it. I couldn't, get ahead in the textbook.
Yeah. I had the same problem.
Yeah.
I tried to pick up calculus from a book, and it just wasn't working. Then I took a course at NYU, a summer course. I was very lucky. I had one of their best teachers, a wonderful man, very pleasant disposition, really expert teacher. But it really wasn't that big a deal, because he explained it how it should be explained.
Yep. Well, I think we've accomplished what I had some objectives. I wanted you to explain. I think you did an incredible job of explaining what outlining is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when I explain outlining, I tend to focus on the mechanics.
I only know one aspect of it, and that's the idea processing. There must be 100 other applications.
No. Yes, there are, of course.
Of course.
But that's the one I care about too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's.
And we have a whole bunch of new things too, like we have this idea of work group outlining. So
I even developed. I don't know exactly what you call it. An acronym, IPSTIC.
Yeah, what does that mean?
As a Q, idea processors save time and improve quality. Okay, it sounds like lipstick, but it's IPSTIC.
IPSTIC, okay.
With a Q.
Cool.
And I think you could prove that people who work with ideas, like managers, executives, lawyers, and anybody else gets involved in interactions with people, where you have to persuade, where you don't have a lot of time, and you really want to present everything concisely and directly so that the user, the listener, will really grasp it. You can't lose. You can't lose if you play around with it on your computer screen first.
Mm-hmm.
And just play with it, always critically. How does this sound and look to the uninformed listener? And by the time you get through with it, you have it. I was a very good presenter when I was still teaching. When I gave presentations to professors, I got many compliments for giving a very good, tight presentation. You know, like you have 15 minutes, I would stop after 13. I would make sure I got rolled within 13. It was all very tight. The whole story was there. No unnecessary details. And I would sit there in the room as a listener, and you'd see some of these other guys, they were hopeless. That they had to present everything. It was such a jumble that you just sat there and said, my God, will this guy ever shut up? You know, it's irritating. It was so bad. And the content wasn't that great either. It wasn't really worth all that time. So that's another example. But it's pretty close to idea processing.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I'm finished. All right, you got what you wanted.
Okay. Thanks very much.